this situation. Let what he lived be your guide. What would Jesus do? Would he give in to temptation? Picture his face and decide. What would Jesus do? Pretty young sister, what's going on? Why that sad look upon your face? You say you're searching for something to feel you belong, and your dreams keep on slipping away. You can get high in good times like everyone else, or give all you've got and believe in yourself. What would Jesus do if he were in this situation? Let what he lived be your guide. What would Jesus do? Would he give in to temptation? Picture his face and decide. What would Jesus do? And you don't know what's wrong or what's right. What would Jesus do? Gonna ask yourself the question. Let what he lived be your guide. What would Jesus do if you need a good suggestion? Look his face and decide. What would Jesus do? It's up to me and you to do what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do?
Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Kevin Kilday. You're listening to Tongues of Fire. We also have Pastor Wayne Fournier here.
What's
up? And Pastor Joshua G.
Hello, everybody.
And again, we are called Tongues of Fire. We are talking about, the new word is regeneration.
Yeah, like that.
It's a great word. It has many meanings. It doesn't put you in a box of having an addictions or you're in recovery, but you're regenerating. You're regenerating your mind, your body, and your spirit. This segment is called Natural Health News, and weekly I present things to help you with your overall health by natural means. I run a center called Holistic Health Center. I have a doctorate in natural health. I do nutritional and spiritual counseling at my center. I help anybody with any chronic health conditions, but one of my specialties is alternative cancer solutions. If you want to prevent cancer, or you have some indications of it, or you've been recently diagnosed diagnosed with it, regardless of what the stage, I can help you with some natural solutions and suggestions. I want to, at this point in time, go over some diet lifestyles in regards to regeneration, recovery. It's the first thing I'm going to start out with is supplements, especially if you're at this point in time in your life that you have decided to stop whatever you're abusing. May it be cigarettes, may it be alcohol, may it be prescription drugs, or may it be illegal drugs. It is best to try to ward off the withdrawal symptoms that you may have, and you may effectively do this by taking some supplements. First things you need to do is take a good multivitamin. I always recommend people just go to the store, preferably my store, and get like a senior vitamin. Even though you're not a senior, you could be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. Just get a senior vitamin, because the senior vitamins just have some more, more B vitamins in it. You want to add some magnesium. Magnesium is a very important mineral. It's responsible for over 300 metabolic functions in the body. It's one of the most important, or I think it is the most important mineral that you could be putting in your system. One of the problems when someone gets in recovery, they say, well, you know, I stopped drinking and everything is fine. I'm attending some support meetings. I'm doing individual counseling. I'm upping my exercise. I'm watching my diet. I'm taking some supplements. And all of a sudden you say to yourself, but geez, I still feel way down. I still feel really depressed. It's not uncommon. It's known, statistically, it's been shown that more than 50% of people in recovery suffer from clinical depression. And especially when you get sober, this depression will reap its ugly head. It may even cause you to relapse. It may even cause you to relapse. Anytime, fellas, that you want to, put some word in here, feel free.
We're learning, Doc. Keep going. We're learning.
One of the substances I use for people suffering from depression. Most people, first thing that comes to mind, it's been advertised quite a bit, is St. John's Wort. St. John's Wort is okay. It's okay for mild depression. People who are in recovery and diagnosed with clinical depression probably have had clinical depression during their whole time of using drugs, alcohol, or whatever your drug of choice is. You probably were depressed the whole time, and this was masking your depression. One of the things that I found most success with is a supplement called 5-HTP. That's Harry Thomas Paul, 5-HTP. It's an amino acid. It's readily available in my center as well as any other health food store. It's been widely studied for not only for depression. It's being used for fibromyalgia. It's being used for migraines. It's been used for insomnia. So it's a wonderful product. It also has been clinically studied side by side with a prescription drug known as Prozac, and it did outperform Prozac in this clinical study. So to move on, you know, we have a good multivitamin, a 5-HTP that will help you, will also help you with any anxiety that you may have, and also with any sleeplessness that you also may have. And you have the magnesium. I would also look into, even though you might have ample amount of B vitamins in your multivitamin, I will get what they call a B50 complex, which is all B vitamins, and they're all 50, most of them are 50 milligrams. Some are like B12 or 50 micrograms. But it's just a B vitamin, because that would be one of the substances that is very much depleted in your body. Another thing that's very good for anybody wanting to come off of alcohol and drugs is something to support your liver. Your liver has been one way or another compromised or damaged, and you have to use a product that can regenerate the liver. The liver is one of the only organs in the body that can totally regenerate itself. However, if you an alcoholic for many years, and you might have some signs of cirrhosis, unfortunately, once the cirrhosis starts developing, you're really not going to regenerate the liver 100%. However, try some milk thistle. Milk thistle is an herb that is very well studied. It has been studied for thoroughly for many, many years, and it helps the liver to regenerate itself. Also, an amino acid called L-phenylalanine, which will help balance your neurotransmitters of norepinephrine and dopamine, are two out of the three levels in your brain that will be have an imbalance. Also, serotonin would be imbalanced also, and that's where 5-HTP comes in. So combining those two, L-phenylalanine and 5-HTP, will help you balance those brain chemicals.
Kevin, I want to just interrupt here just for a second. It's a lot of great information you're giving us here this morning. I don't know if the viewers are having enough time to write all this down, if they're taping this show. So at this time, give us an idea. How can we get a hold of this info again? How we get a hold of you so we can talk about this? If some of our viewers out there are saying, man, I need to know more about this, I think they need to know how to get a hold of us. So would you tell us that, please?
Yes, I am available as much as I can be at my store, Holistic Health Center, which is at 500 North Harbor City Boulevard in Melbourne. And that North Harbor City Boulevard is US 1, in case no one knows. And my center is located between Sarno Road and Babcock. You can make an appointment to come in and see me. Walk-ins are fine. If I'm available, I will see you. My phone number is 321-549-0711. I am there Tuesday through Friday. Unfortunately, due to another commitment, I cannot be there on Mondays. But I am there all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, until 2 o'clock on Thursday and Friday. However, I am also available on weekends for consultations through an appointment.
Right. And again, we're not diagnosing anybody out there, any of you listeners, but what we want to let you know is when you make a decision to admit something, and the word admitted means to let in,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to let in information about yourself that's going to help you to be able to get on the path of regeneration. One of the most important parts of the path is to clean the temple out where the Holy Spirit's living. See, if the Holy Spirit is living in a dirty temple, then you're just going to keep him covered into the inner sanctuary, and he's not going to be able to step out to the outer sanctuary where he needs to be to lead us. So you'll always have the Spirit in you, but he won't be able to lead you because the temple is too full of money changers. Right. Jesus came in. Remember the scripture where Jesus came in and dumped the money changer tables over? What he's telling us, listen, you need to clean the temple out so my house can be a house of prayer. If we got all this junk and the Holy Spirit is stuffed in the inner sanctuary and he can't get to the outer sanctuary, we can't pray through this. That's why Kevin's giving us all this great information, because this is a part of cleaning out the temple. We're not saying that you do that and you get recovery. That's a piece of it. That's a product of it that is definitely and absolutely positively a part of it that we have to really look deep into, which I don't think a lot of the recovery programs out there are doing today.
Well, you know, you're just speaking on that same thing. There's a saying out in a lot of recovery rooms where you have to, in order to keep it, you've got to give it away.
Right.
You've got to give it away. And it also works that way with the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit to really work within us, and he's going to do a lot of work within us in order to change us. But then we also have to let that Spirit out. We have to share that Spirit. We have to share what God has given us with other people. Because, you know, otherwise you're going to be, I remember when you said this years ago, and it stuck with me, Pastor, you don't want to be a Dead Sea Christian.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
The Dead Sea. Why is the Dead Sea? Why is the Dead Sea the Dead Sea? It's because it's not moving anywhere.
No outlets.
Okay. No outlets. There's no flow.
Right.
There's nothing. It's just sitting there. It's just sitting there, sitting there, sitting there.
In the Sea of Galilee, plenty of outlets.
That's right.
That's why it's alive. That's why they fish there.
That's right.
And they're both connected by the muddy River Jordan.
Exactly.
So you got to get in the muddy river if you're in the Dead Sea to get up to the clean Sea of Galilee. But what we're talking about on the inner sanctuary and everything is, I'm going to have Josh read us a scripture here out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 22. And this is the inner and the outer sanctuary. This is what God tells us that we're stuck in. And that's why we got to go to the natural. We don't want to get sober and get regenerated on the world's system of pills.
That's right.
Now, I'm not telling anybody to do anything yay or nay. What I'm saying is, I don't know if I love you, Jesus, but go ahead and give me a Prozac. I love you, Jesus. Go ahead and give me an Oxycontin. I love you, Jesus. Why don't you give me something natural?
Okay.
Give me something that you've created for me that's really going to help me cleanse the temple. But Ephesians 4, 17 to 22 is the regeneration. Now, you got to remember the church at Ephesus. They were in a town called probably Miami or Tampa. It was a lot of sexual activity. The Temple
That's
of
right.
Diana was there. There were great temples, great roadways, and God went, boof, church. And then the church began to not stay within the church and get outside the doors and began to fall. They loved Jesus, but they were falling for that world value system, for the party going on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he says in Ephesians 4, 17 to 22, to the Ephesians and us.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, therefore ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
So this is the key. And we're going to give this back to Kevin here in a moment, because it's just going to tie in, I think, beautifully. Verses 17 and 19 says, due to the futility of our thinking, we've been alienated from the life of God. We haven't been shot away from him. We've been alienated. We're no longer in tune with the life of God due to the futility of our thinking. Our thinking has become greedy. So therefore, our hearts have become hardened, and we've given ourselves over to lucidity-ness. This is addiction. This is to whatever makes me feel good. But then the key comes in the next verses, 20, 21, 22, when he says, take off the old man to put on the new. So many times I would run to the church. So many times I would run to the spiritual. So many times I would run to the meetings. And I would try to put on this new man. I'm going to meetings. I'm sober. Hey, I'm going to church. I'm sober. I would put on the new. Mm-hmm. But I never took off the old. Once I take off the old, then I can put on the new. Because if I put the new over the old, it's going to become uncomfortable. I'm going to take it off and throw on the couch. If I take off the old and put on the new, it could become my favorite. And I might hang it up where everybody sees it. Like right now, you come into my house, there'll be a New England Patriots shirt hanging on the chair. Because I want everybody to see that. What about my Jesus shirt? Is that where everybody can see it too?
Okay. And keep that, you know, and this is why a lot of people, when they go into regeneration, whether it be from drugs, from alcohol, from overeating, from sex, from gambling, from nicotine, from caffeine, whatever you got to regenerate yourself from, why do we fall back? Why do we fall back? It's because we didn't take off the old before we put the new on. We put the new on top of the old without cleaning out, without changing the mind, and it feels good. We can wear it for a little while, but as soon as it gets uncomfortable, what do? We take the new off. And all that's left is the old. And we're rather comfortable with the old, okay, because we've been doing it so long that we've become very comfortable with it. I'm comfortable when I don't feel right to go out and, you know, it feels comfortable for me after I eat to go smoke a cigarette, okay? It's a comfort. It's a comfort for me when I'm not feeling right for me to go to the store and pick up a chocolate cake or an apple pie and come home and sit down and consume that. That's comforting. It's comfortable. It's a comfort food.
Amen.
Like mashed potatoes, like macaroni and cheese. Okay? Okay? We love it. Why do we love it? Because it's comfortable. It's comfortable. It's a comfort food. And if we're going to change, if we're going to come out of these things, then we're going to have to be uncomfortable for a little while.
And we have to replace it. And that's why Kevin's bringing us this information. What are you going to replace this stuff? See, admitting that I have a problem, the word admitted means to let in. When you go to the movie, they give you a ticket. The ticket says admit one. They're letting you in, not just to watch the movie. Yes, that's the purpose. That's your benefit for buying the ticket. But it's so you can say, wow, what a great movie. And when you come out, you begin to talk about that movie.
That's right.
You share that movie to others so they can go too. So we need to admit it to let in. That's why in this natural health news time that we're having is all the stuff that we're letting in. Remember Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So our punishment for not going this route is he will forget our children. Now, that doesn't mean that they're out on their own. He will forget because blessing comes along with God. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, Kevin, give us some more health news then.
Well, you know, what Josh was talking about, you know, substance abuse or any type of abuse, it creates a false sense of well-being.
Right.
And however, you know, if you continue to do these things, you know, in the end, it affects you physically, psychologically, and spiritually. One of the, I'm going to go into like a diet change, and it's going to be, you know, real simple, all right? One of the first things that anybody, may it be a recovery diet, may it be to lose weight, you know, for any reason whatsoever, the first thing you should eliminate from your diet is sugar. Sugar. It's the, it's actually as addicting as these substances. You know, I found out something. I mean, I learned something new all the time with my reading, you know, health magazines and stuff like that. Soda, for instance. Personally, I think soda should be banned. I really do. I mean, I think that, who was it, the New York mayor that restricted the use of soda? Do you recall who that was? Was it Bloomberg?
Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg.
Right, right. He had the right idea. You know how many teaspoons of sugar are in one can of soda? A 12-ounce can of soda? 9 teaspoons of sugar. So if you're walking away with a quart size container at your fast food restaurant, I'm not going to mention any of them, but if you're walking away with a 32-ounce tall soda, do the numbers. You know, 3 times 12 is 36. So you're actually drinking 27 teaspoons of sugar. 27 teaspoons of sugar. And I just found out that even one can of soda, yes, the sugar might give you some false energy for up to 3 hours. Do you know, during those 3 hours, this sugar is compromising your immune system by 30%.
That's amazing.
What's the ramifications that cut out sugar altogether? Because, you know,
There are no ramifications. It's all positive.
Well, is there a detox you're going to go through? Should it be slowly?
No.
You know, there's a book that I read that states that, you know, in the old days in Alcoholics Anonymous, they used to give them jelly beans to overtake that sugar depletion because of all the sugar that they're missing, so they didn't go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a good idea. I know now we have a whole lot more information, but what are you thinking about that?
Well, the drugs out there, the amphetamines, the cocaine, the caffeine, the alcohol, actually, it increases the release of sugar in your bloodstream. So that's why they always say to give up sugar or cut down sugar drastically if you're in recovery. My thoughts are just give it up totally. You know, to totally eliminate sugar from your from your body. You know, there's a book out there. I personally haven't read it. I just, I seen a copy in the store. I read through it a little bit, and I think that I'm going to start promoting it. And it's a diet program called Sugar Busters, and that's what it's all about. It's all about just eliminating sugar altogether from your diet.
Now, do I have to do that myself before I can begin to give that to other people?
I don't understand what you mean.
In other words, can I tell anybody else that taking away sugar is good for you, but yet I go home and eat my 9 teaspoons of sugar?
Well, no. You know, you have to practice what you preach.
Okay. Well, I'm guilty of it too.
But ever since I started, I learned about that. Especially now during the cold and flu season, and people are wondering, why did I get sick? You know, it could be because you're drinking 32-ounce sodas. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
right.
days a week.
And I have found out that when you get information like this for me, when I go to give this information to others, that doesn't always necessarily mean that I've already conquered it myself.
That's right.
I want to conquer it, so as I begin to preach the gospel over it, then I begin to see how bad it really is in my life, how it was a money changer in the temple, so now I need to turn that table over and cleanse the temple, and it takes a little bit of time for me. We're getting ready to go on to our second break. We're going to play a little song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have an agape training time. We're going to talk about the solution. We're going to come in with Dr. Kilday some more, and we're going to bring Pastor Joshua G in some more, too. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
That life on the streets, yeah, it's beating you down, but it's never too late to turn it all around.
Gonna sing you a prayer.
Gonna sing you a prayer. Let it fly up to heaven.
May the powers above
keep watch over you. I know things ain't been right.
Things ain't been right.
But until you're feeling safe again, just know that I care. And I'm singing you a prayer.
like a thief in the night. But you can't find your way if you just look for the light. I'ma sing you a prayer.
Sing you a prayer.
Let it fly up to heaven.
Fly up to heaven.
May the powers above.
Powers above.
Keep watch over you. Sometimes things don't go right. So until you're feeling good again, just know that I care.
Know that I care.
And I'm singing you a prayer.
Ooh, I got a little off track, a little out of control. Oh, I was just a ripping.
Why
well, I really don't know. But now I'm working my way back, and I want you to know that I could feel your love, all the love that you show.
Oh,
can you hear me sing it to me?
I can hear you.
I'm singing you a prayer.
Sing you a prayer.
Let it fly up to heaven.
Fly up to heaven.
Thank the powers above.
Powers above.
Watching over you.
Watching over you.
Everything is all right.
And I hope you enjoyed, we hope you enjoyed that song that you just heard. And I want to welcome everybody back to Tongues of Fire. And the last couple of songs we've been listening to is were recorded by a gentleman by the name of Aaron Neville, if you did not recognize that unmistakable voice of his already. If you didn't know, Aaron Neville is quite famous of the Neville Brothers. And he's had quite a life. A life in gangs, going to prison, coming back, and he turned his life over to Christ many years ago. And he continues to let people know that he has turned his life over to our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. At this time, we want to open our phone lines up for prayer requests, for prayer requests. So if you have a request of prayer, prayer request, please give us a call at 321-632-1000. That's 321-632-1000. And while we have these lines open, we're going to continue on with the program. And Pastor Wayne, you're going to bring us something called ATM, the Agape Training Ministry. What is all that about?
That's a training ministry that trains frontline fighters for the battlefield of addictions. It's a complete model of regeneration from the beginning to the end. And I'm a Vietnam War veteran. I did two tours in Nam, so I feel like we're in a battle out here with addictions, with being addicted to anything. And so I've used what the military would use in the same fashion. We have, of course, who am I going to listen to? I'm going to listen to the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to learn my power of prayer. I'm going to learn my faith, hope, and love. But then I got to go to basic training.
Okay.
And that's what we've been talking about this morning, is the first issue in basic training that we need to be taught is about the problem. Do I have a problem? Am I going to admit to that problem? Well, in order to really admit, it just ain't saying I'm this, I'm that. It's about letting in information so I absolutely believe that that's me, so I can now reach out for some help.
You know, and I understand that very well, that admit to let in. A lot of times we know that we have a problem. When I was out there running the streets, I knew I had no business doing this. I knew what I was doing was wrong, okay, but I knew these things on the surface. I had not really let it completely into me. I had not completely admitted to the fact that, hey, I was powerless. I could not win this fight.
So let's listen to how Paul puts that. You know, I do those things which I not will to do. And you want to go to Romans 7, verses 14 to 24? I'm going to have my brother Josh read it. And there are a bunch of I's, I's, and I's. And what I'm going to do is, as he reads it, I'll just speak softly behind him, carnal, spiritual. Carnal, spiritual. Because Paul talks about the battle of when Christ Jesus comes in my life, which he did on his road to Damascus. And when he came into his life, Paul still had the battle of carnal versus spirit. I doing those things that I will not to do, but yet I find myself doing them anyway. If you're doing that, then you'll probably end up powerless. And what powerless ends up to be is lacking the authority or capacity to act. In other words, you are frozen. You can't move either way. Don't know what to do. All I know is I'm doing those things that I will not to do, but I'm doing them anyway. And you find that in Romans 14 through 24.
Romans 14 through 24 says, and I want to let you know that I'm not reading from the King James at this point, but it is a different translation, and it's a translation that I use quite often because it's very easy to understand. And what it says here, I know that God's standards in Moses'
teachings. What translation?
This is actually called God's Word to the Nation.
Okay.
And it says in 7:14, starting at 14, I know that God's standards in Moses' teachings are spiritual, but I have a corrupt nature, sold as a slave to sin. I don't realize what I'm doing. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate. I don't do what I want to do, but I agree that God's standards are good. So I am no longer the one who is doing the things that I hate, but sin, which lives in me, is doing them. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, nothing good lives in my corrupt nature. Although I have the desire to do what is right, I don't do it. I don't do the good that I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I don't want to do. Now, when I do what I don't want to do, I am no longer the one who is doing it. Sin that lives within me is doing this.
And, you know, I have a little saying with that. You know, I'm speeding down the highway. State trooper pulls me over and says, man, you were doing 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. I said, no, I wasn't.
Okay.
That was the sin that was in me. That
All
wasn't
right.
me. And you know what the officer said? Well, then I'm going to go ahead and arrest the sin. You know, see, well, you got to realize that the sin is in me. So in the flesh there is in me, and that's our battle. And what is our solution? You know, I'm going to read a scripture real quick. 1 John 5:7-8 says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So they are one in heaven, and they agree as one on earth. So our solution is to believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will restore me to wholeness of mind.
Exactly.
Sanity means less than whole. Doing the same thing, trying to get different results. So what about believing? What is the word believing? It's to have a firm conviction as to the reality or goodness of something. And I made a little chart here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the atheists. The atheists, they don't believe.
No, they don't believe.
So they'll never make a decision.
Can't make a decision.
They won't take action.
Never take action.
They'll never get results.
Absolutely not.
Therefore, they live without faith.
Okay.
Now, what about the agnostic? Here is probably 90% of the church, brother.
Yeah, because what is the agnostic? What, you know, let's let everybody know, what is an agnostic? What does that agnostic mean?
Ag means without, and gnostic means knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I come into the church, I go in on Sunday, I raise my hand, I give my life over to Christ, but then that's it. I just go to church every Sunday, I don't read my word, I don't get any other information. I'm a Christian now in idolatry. What that means is I believe.
That's right.
But I'll never make a decision.
No.
I'll never take action.
Mm-mm.
I'll never get results. Therefore, I'm like the non-believer. I have no faith.
That's right.
And can you imagine being living in the life of Christ and not having faith? And then we have the believer. I don't call him the Christian. I call him the believer.
Okay.
He is obedient. He believes. He makes a decision.
He has made a decision for
to
what?
Go into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lifestyle.
Okay.
Therefore, he acts on that.
And how is he acting on that?
He reads his word.
Okay.
He gives it away to other people.
Okay.
He gets in prayer and meditation.
Okay.
He eats healthy. He does so many things. It all has to do with bettering himself. And these come a little at a time. Unless you get a zoom from God, they come in a little at a time in an awakening fashion.
So in other words, what this believer is doing, he is acting upon, taking the steps to act upon the things that God is giving him, and therefore making changes in life and lifestyle.
So he can live in the kingdom of God.
Okay.
So if he acts, then he'll get results.
Oh, yes.
You know, for me, 26, 27 years recovery. For Kevin, 14, 15. For you, same thing, 15, mm-hmm. 16 years. So these are results that we have. So
that's
therefore,
right.
We now have faith. Ladies and gentlemen, hear this little quotation here. Believing is the power that changes the inner man. Believing in the Trinity, believing in the Holy Spirit, believing in Jesus, believing in the Father is the power that changes the inner man.
Well, it sounds like we've got a caller.
Yeah, let's see what the request is.
Let's turn this over to Dr. Kilday. Where have they gone away?
Pick it up and say hello. All right, he's trying to call back if we don't get us real soon. He's trying to learn how to answer the phone.
Oh, okay.
I think you just pick it up, Kevin. So on to the solution. We're going to learn how to answer this phone before it's over. hey, we're learning. Forgive us out there, nation, but we're learning.
Yeah, well, you know, that phone's not a cell phone because we have to figure out how the old ones work.
Right. All right, so now if I'm going to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's the power. You know, there's two powers that are within that. And the first power that we got to remember is the fellowship. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembly of the believers. We need to go to the fellowship. Why? Because the fellowship supports us. So the first power that I need in my life is the support of my brethren that have already decided, have already acted, have already received, and are living on faith. These brethren in my life will help me through that time we talked about.
That's
that
right.
The brain is empty of everything because it's getting ready to be regenerated. Galatians 3:26-29 says the fellowship is this. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the fellowship consists of everybody. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to support myself. Remember what the Bible says, test everyone.
Okay.
You want to make sure that that's a positive man.
You must test everything by the word.
Amen. And my recovery is probably going to come in two fashions. It's going to come through a spiritual awakening, which is power two, a dunamis kind of power, that dynamite, ba-boom. God's going to change me, going to set me out front, everything's provided, and man, I'm on my way. He didn't do that with me. The other one is that spiritual awakening. And our scripture for the tongues of fire show is Acts 2:1-4. That's the spiritual experience that Paul had. You know, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all in one place and in one accord.
Amen.
What seemed to be divided tongues of fire landed on them. Mm-hmm. They were changed that day, and the church was formed, and they were off and running. And Jesus said, you go, and you wait. It takes patience for that to happen. You wait for that day to come. But they were all changed. And then we have Paul's life. Paul's walking on his road to Damascus. God knocks him off his horse, takes his eyesight away, brings him up into the third heaven, probably grabs him by the shirt like my daddy would, said, listen, Paul, this is what you're going to do from here on out.
You know, and the story of Paul is extremely significant because we must understand and remember. Now, Paul became one of the, he wrote close to half of the New Testament. But before he was doing that, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was one of the greatest enemies of the starting up of the church. He went out and tried to find people who were worshiping Christ, who were believing upon Christ Jesus, and have them arrested and have them thrown in jail. And he was on his way on that road to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus to do just that.
He was the only man in Scripture that I find that had a piece of paper in his pocket to destroy people who believed in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and what we want to remember, he was Saul. His name changed to Paul. One of God's promises when you come into his kingdom is a new name. When I was out there, I was Hogman.
Okay.
You know, I even still got a tattoo on my arm that says Hogman that I can't get off. But, you know, I'm not Hogman. My name is Edward Wayne Fournier / Christ.
When I was running out in the streets and I was running around, I was known as Taxi because that was my hustle. I had a vehicle, and I would carry people here, there, everywhere, and everyone on the street knew me as Taxi.
Yeah, and so when we come in, we get that new name. Kevin, what did they used to call you?
A lot of different names.
Late for dinner?
that can't be repeated on the radio.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to continue just talking about what we brought forth. We don't want to compound them with too much. Next week, I think Brother Josh will continue in this agape training time.
Yes, we will.
With the life of Paul. How did he receive this spiritual awakening? Today, we're going to stop at that spiritual experience of the Holy Spirit just coming down upon us and just exploding in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kevin, I want you to give us a few words here, too. I know that you've got some more things to say. But remember, the natural health news was bringing in some herbs and some things that we got to do to keep this temple clean. Once we receive an experience, we receive a Holy Spirit bite, as I call it.
Okay.
We have to do some things. And if we don't get rid of sugar,
it says in the Bible that we need to treat our body as a temple.
Right on.
That's 1 Corinthians 19.
Right around there. I know it's in Corinthians.
Right. That we should treat our body as a temple, and
with the Holy Spirit. Right on.
Right. Well, I believe I just left off giving up sugar totally. Some of the other things that anybody might want to do, and this is a very general type of diet / lifestyle, is to is to eat regularly. You know, eat on time. The same time every day. Don't skip meals. Especially if, again, I keep going back to, recovery, to regeneration, is what you're doing, is you're regenerating your body. And, you are less likely, if you eat regularly, to experience any cravings or any low blood sugar that can lead you to go out and use again. So it's a good idea to eat 3 regular meals a day, and also 2 small snacks in between those meals. So we really should be eating. And most good nutritional programs out there would tell you that to eat 5 or 6 light meals a day.
Yeah, and I think, I've always heard, too, that it's good not to eat anything big after 6 o'clock. See, one of my main problems is I like my stuff probably around 10 o'clock at night. Which I know is not good for me. I complain about I need to lose about 20, 30 pounds, but yet I've seen the light. I know what to do, but I find myself not doing those things that I will to do. Why?
Well,
what a wretched man I am.
Well,
you hear what I'm saying?
There was a saying to eat breakfast like a king, eat lunch like a prince or a princess, and eat dinner like a pauper.
Interesting.
Whoa, amen. Whoa. Yeah, all right, Josh has got a little announcement he's going to give us here, too, and say a couple words. Josh?
I don't mean to interrupt, but anybody who wants any additional information about supplements and diet, please call me at 321-549-0711. And I'm located at Holistic Health Center, 500 North Harbor City Boulevard in Melbourne. And we are also a sponsor of this program.
And you also have a fair coming up. Why don't you mention that one more time?
Yes, thank you very much, Pastor. Next Saturday, a week from today, on January 10th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., I am having a natural health fair. It's free admission. It's at my center at 500 North Harbor City Boulevard. I'm going to have a licensed chiropractor there. Her name is Dr. Deanna Carlisle. She has a practice at the 1900 building in Melbourne. Also, a licensed massage therapist will be there giving short 10-minute massages. A representative from a company called Melaleuca that has natural green cleaning products, you know, chemical-free, as well as natural health and beauty aids and bath products. And also a representative from Juice Plus, a very good organization. I went to see a woman speak a few weeks ago that promotes Juice Plus. A lot of clinical studies on their product, very positive about cancer solutions using that product. As I said earlier, rather than in lieu of juicing, which takes a lot of time for some people and their busy lifestyles, Juice Plus is a good alternative. So that representative will be there. As far as myself, I will be there doing some consultations and also offer a free nutrition test.
Okay, Joshua, you're going to mention something that you and I are going to be doing, and Kevin, I'm sure, is going to be with this also.
Yes, absolutely. And Kevin, I want to thank you for all that information you've been giving us. Very good information, and we definitely need it.
I have so much more, but, you know, time not permitting right now.
All right.
Next week.
Yeah, next week. Join us next week.
Stay tuned.
But while we still have a few more minutes, I want to let everybody know that now that the Lord has brought us, all three of us, back together, I know Pastor and I have been, you know, we've taught in the past on the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Spiritually.
We both believe this is a very good place to start your walk going into leading up to the Lord for your regeneration. So we are considering at this time that sometime in the spring of this year, of 2015, we're going to be doing a seminar discussing the big book, discussing the Bible, discussing regeneration. All these types of things are going to be discussed. It's going to be a seminar that the pastor and I will be doing. We don't have a date yet, but in the upcoming weeks, we will figure out a date, and we will let everybody know.
That's right. We appreciate that. And we're getting close now to close down our time here. We're going to be closing with a song. We're not saying bye yet. We will do that later. But I want to thank you listeners out there right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I hope that we showed you honor and showed you glory. Father, I hope that we presented the kingdom of God and all its glory here this morning, Father. Father, I want to thank Dr. Kevin Kilday. I want to thank my friend Pastor Joshua G. And Father, and thank me, I guess, because I'm the only one left. But thank me for the things that you've allowed us to talk about here at the radio this morning. Right now, we're going to go to a song. We'll be back in a few minutes to say goodbye with Joshua G. Thank you, radio listeners.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Singing, yes, Jesus
loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sins. Let his little child come and keep on singing your yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love him when I die, he will take me home. On high. Keep on singing your yes, Jesus loves me. No, he loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in today to Tongues of Fire. And I hope you like that song on the way out. Yes, Jesus does love you. We will be back again next week, Lord willing, with Tongues of Fire, with Dr. Kevin Kilday, Pastor Wayne, and myself, Joshua. God bless. And let the Lord's will be done in your life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pouring down again, again.